These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, chatting all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona you the TV have, you know, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw on television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. So Ireland have beaten Wales 31-7 here at the Aviva Stadium. There was 80 minutes and 58 seconds gone on the clock when Tadhg Byrne went over for Ireland's fourth try to get that four-try bonus win. The other bonus point, the three other tries coming from Dan Sheehan, James Lowe and Kieran Frawley. Ireland got two yellow cards as well, Tadhg Byrne and James Ryan, and a penalty try for Wales. Keen Tracy and Rory O'Connor are here with me. Well, how do you sum up that, lads?
It's a difficult game to sum up. I don't think it panned out the way... It's probably panned out a little bit the way Warren Gatland planned it and told us he was planning it.
He's still got it.
He's still got it to some degree. I mean, yeah. He's got a team there, but I think it's going to take them a long time until they're able to... I mean, not a long time, but they're certainly in development. They're very in the early stages of their development. But he kind of wanted to replicate the All Blacks plan from the World Cup quarter-final and knock Ireland off their stride. And I don't think any team has really knocked Ireland off their stride as successfully, probably apart from the All Blacks maybe and South Africa at the World Cup, since England here a year ago in that Grand Slam game where you know Ireland got bogged down a little bit, and it was a similar maybe a game to that one. I don't think Ireland were accurate enough in that first half. They had 70% possession. They didn't make a count. I think they thought that they'd be able to break Wales after half time, but I thought they came out too over pumped after half time. You know, for about 2 minutes they looked really slick, and then they started giving away penalty after penalty, and I think it was six in the first 12 minutes of the second half. Wales having been the ill-disciplined side in the first half, and Andrea Piardi, the referee, certainly kind of was giving penalties in waves, and they were compounding error after error. Tadhg Byrne goes in the bin, and they had to kind of find their way through it. But I know Keane disagrees a little bit, I never felt like the result was in jeopardy, but I did feel, you know, Ireland coming off a 17-7 or a 17-14 win would have felt very different to Ireland coming off a 31-7 win. It looks very comprehensive, but it didn't feel the comprehensive across the 80 minutes. Probably the poorest performance in our championship so far, and Wales had a big part to play in that.
Yeah. That was off the record, by the way. No, I think like when Wales were piling on the pressure after they got their penalty try, I was kind of thinking, wow, if they get it back to 17-14, it already felt like a game, because Ireland throughout the first half were dominating collisions, whether that was in attack or defence. Every time they carried the ball, they seemed to get over the gain line. There was one big defensive set just before the end of half time. I think it was Caelan Dyers and Josh van der Veer. Both came up with massive dominant tackles, which I suppose is the buzzword for the last few years. But Rudd's right, the way they came out in the second half, it was like they left their heads in the dressing room. I don't know, was it a bit of complacency? Were they too overeager, like Rudd says? But yeah, I was just kind of thinking, if they got it back to 17-14, then suddenly I think the stadium was going to get a bit nervous as well. But a huge defensive set again. I thought the bench were absolutely immense. Ryan Baird was outstanding. I thought James Ryan was very good before he got the yellow card. Keane Healy had a couple of big moments. You had Stuart
Ronan
McCloskey.
Ronan Kelleher.
Yeah. He was the one who won the turnover.
There, yeah.
James Ryan and Ryan Baird both made several tackles in that phase as well. So that was the point where I knew that the game was safe. Look, I didn't fear that Ireland were going to lose, but if Wales had got it back to a 3-point game, then you are sitting that little bit more uncomfortable. But, you know, the bench had a big impact, like I said, but they got away with it in a sense as well, because you had Stuart McCloskey playing on the wing, which obviously was not part of the plan. Calvin Nash goes off with a bit of an injury. We're obviously going to go down now and get an update on that, but you end up with a situation where Stuart McCloskey is against Rio Dyer, an absolute flyer. Now Wales weren't able to exploit that, and to be fair to McCloskey, he slotted in really well, came up with a really big tackle down here as well. Yeah, absolutely. So look, Andy Farrell has used clunky, I would say several times over his tenure, to describe different performances. Yeah, I think it will. I think clunky summed up that performance really. So, look, there were lots of good things in it. I mean, a debut for Ollie Yeager, who put himself about off the bench as well. Bundiaki was great in midfield, but I think he'll be a little bit disappointed that they made hard work for it. You touched on it there, Sinead, in your intro. It took them to basically the 81st minute to get the bonus point, and if they hadn't got that bonus point, I think they would have been really annoyed with themselves.
There was one stage in the first half where I thought, are Ireland going to nil a team for the second successive game? But as you say, there was opportunities they left out there, and then just that start of the second half.
They had the chance to break Wales, but the old failing of the line-out came back to haunt them. A couple went astray. The throwing, well, you know, not to put it all on the hooker, but the timing seemed to be off. A few went
the
over
lifts
the top
as well, weren't
the
they?
Lifting, yeah. They just weren't. I mean, for a team who's had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, they didn't look tuned in to the same degree, and that's a failing. And Wales did contest much harder than Scotland and Italy had in the last two games. And again, that's it. That's Scotland dusting off the plan and going after Ireland and putting them under pressure and asking them questions. That may be not a poor France team, but a very on the night they were poor, and an Italy team who came to contain weren't able to do so. I think that was they will have very valuable footage, just as Steve Borthwick, Felix Jones and the English coaching ticket will have a lot to pour over here. Andy Farrell and his team now have 2 weeks to build towards Twickenham, and a lot of flaws to iron out, and a lot of players that they can sit down with and kind of go, right, this is what you did well, this is what you did wrong, whereas the other two games maybe didn't get asked the same kind of questions. But
what do you think was down to, I mean, we think this team is immune to complacency, all, you know, that they're always tuned in, so what do you think?
They're human. They beat the spread. They came in 24 points, but the big spread, what was happening outside, I'm sure when they were off, they were getting, you know, everyone was saying, expecting, talking about grand slams. And look, they are very mentally strong and able to shut things out, but they are human, and I'm sure it seeped into some degree. They're missing Hugo Keenan. Frawley did well, but I do think that, you know, Keenan offers them something that they maybe were missing today, and that the way he popped up against Italy and just broke the game wide open a couple of times. Crowley's still learning. I thought their game management after half time went down to 14 men was very poor. They went through, I think it was an 8 minute ball and play period with Wales that became absolute chaos,
and boots really flying everywhere and everything.
And it was only when that was a great moment. Andrew Porter threw away his opposition numbers boot and they ended up playing through that whole period with one boot, but Ireland never spotted him and went after him. But that was a time to slow it down, to put boot to ball, to
Pardon
show some
pun.
Composure. I think Johnny Sexton, who was here, Keane's mate from before the game, you know, would have maybe calmed things down, put boot to ball, played a bit of territory, managed that period where Tyburn was in the bin much, much better. Byrne comes on and makes a big play at a maul to kind of make sure it does stay at 17-7. But that period, I think, really spoke to a team that is not the level we expect them to be at in terms of game management. So there was a lot of flaws in the performance, but this maybe is the Ireland that we expected to see in this tournament, that we didn't see in the first two rounds. A team that's, you know, John McCarthy gave away a couple of penalties in the second half and got yoinked off, you know, like, these are maybe the growing pains that you expect when you make a couple of changes, and they're making those mistakes while winning 31-7 against Wales at home. So we may sound overly negative on them, I'm not sure, but I do think we expect a lot of this Irish team, and they probably didn't deliver on it.
That's what the point I was going to make. I think people, including us, have such high expectations of this team, but I mean, it's still a Six Nations game, and we should give Wales some credit. Yeah. They made it tough, and they were the ones who were forcing those errors from Ireland, but they've no divine right to turn up and beat teams with bonus points. And I think maybe because our expectations are so high, we expect them to do it without any issues. And look, I think we touched on this after the Italy game as well. If this is going to be potentially another Grand Slam, there usually is sticking points along the way. And look, I don't think there's any harm in having a performance like that before you go to Twickenham, because if they had hammered Wales out the gate, if the line-out had been great, the scrum, which was exceptional, yeah. Andrew Porter did a serious number along with his front row colleagues as well, but it just gives them plenty of work to do over the next couple of weeks, which is no bad thing either. They've got the break week again, ideal timing, because England away after they got over the hump of Wales and Marseille was always going to be a big test. I still feel like that's going to be the case. Obviously they're playing against Scotland now. We don't know the result of that as we're speaking, but it's no bad place for, you know, Andy Farrell to come in on later next week whenever they do and have loads of things to show them. Like, I think that's a good thing as well.
And Rory mentioned Ciarán Foley. There's obviously a lot of talk about him in the build up to this one. You know, in the second half, he had his kind of dummy chip and chase and a few crossfield kicks, and obviously his try as well. How would you rate how he went?
I think he grew into it. I think it was just through no fault really of his own in the first half. The ball, we were commenting on it, weren't we? Just didn't seem to come his way.
No.
But you saw the dual playmakers, I thought, yes, working much better in the second half. There was one lovely set where Frawley got on as first receiver, I think it was three or four different times, and Jack Crowley was loaded out the back at the other side of the pitch. So that's exactly, I think, what Andy Farrell wants from Frawley when he comes in. Obviously, great moment for scoring his try in his first, yeah, Six Nations start. Like, that was a class moment for him. I thought he did really well. Warren Gatland, as we know, spoke about trying to target him in it, and I don't really think they did that. Rudd mentioned there you're missing Hugo Keenan. Of course you're going to miss Hugo Keenan, but by the same token, Frawley didn't really do much wrong, I didn't think at all.
That comment is not... I think it's almost like the Johnny Sexton effect, that when Johnny Sexton wasn't around, standards dropped a little bit. And I think, like, there was a couple of moments. There was an up and under from Jack Crowley that was perfect, and Frawley lost out to his opposite number.
Great take,
I think it was a great take, but I think Keenan maybe, or Rob Kearney, like, you know, this is what we're comparing him with, is Ireland's fullbacks, of the great fullbacks of the times gone past, you know, may have gone and won that. Look, it's an exceptionally high standard I'm holding them to, but that is the jersey he's wearing. I don't think
it was the type of performance, though, and I'm not saying you're saying that Farrell would be reluctant to put him in again.
But I think it was a performance maybe from the team that shows just how valuable Hugo Keenan is. But I'm not putting it all down to his absence, and I'm certainly not putting it on the shoulders of Frawley, who I thought was really, really good and showed some lovely touches. It's just, I'm not sure that he's, like, I don't think he's a natural fullback, and I think he looked like a very good player playing well out of position, but still, that I would take great comfort from the word we're getting that Frawley's that Keenan is probably going to be back for Twickenham, because I think maybe Frawley needs that time in that jersey to get it to a higher level, but I think the team needs Keenan quite a lot. But that's not to denigrate what Ciarán Foley achieved out there. I thought he was very, very good.
And the bench split, you mentioned it there earlier. I don't know why they would go back to 5-3 now when you have players like Ryan Baird running up through the centre, running like a back. You know, the
it's not like there's back three players beating down the door to get into that 23. Now, Gary Ringrose will be coming into contention for 2 weeks' time, and maybe that's an incentive to go 5-3. Maybe it's the side of Stuart McCluskey. Well, I suppose he could be in the number 23 jersey ahead of McCluskey. But
which Farrell tends to like a big centre.
And Ringrose is probably more comfortable on the wing as well, so probably offers you a bit more comfort in that regard. Although Frawley will probably drop on the best. I talk through it. It'll probably be Frawley because he'll probably drop out and Keenan comes back in. So whether Ringrose gets in or not, he was running the line today, you know, running the water and the tea and stuff. The question he asked though was about the bench, and I thought they were exceptional. And I know James Ryan got a yellow card, but like, what the risk that they're running is, are they playing their way into the team, or are they such an effective unit coming onto the pitch that they're just going to end up being like the bomb squad from South Africa who will become a unit? Like Baird, I thought, was really, really good. I thought he made poor decisions on the end of the kind of line breaks that no other player in Ireland can make. Now, that's something that you can coach the decisions, but you can't coach what he did in the first place. Like, the first time he breaks through, Sam Costello's in front of him, and rather than just go through him, which, you know, as a big, powerful second-row, you know, come blindside should have done, he looked for the pass, having run away from Jameson Gibson-Park. The second time, it was a good play by Daffod Jenkins to dispossess him, but the actual physical prowess that he brings, the line-out play that he has, it's really outstanding. Conan, I thought, was excellent. Kelleher was really good. He's not going to get in ahead of Dan Sheehan, but God, what a luxury to bring him on. Keane Healy at the age of 59 was sensational.
He was.
Ollie Yeager, I thought, did well without being...
Conor Murray brought a bit of calm.
Conor Murray was good.
Think it was James Gibson Park's best game, I have to say. I thought he lacked a little bit of control.
Conor Murray have come on.
Yeah, I think
earlier,
so. We were commenting on this. Look, James Gibson Park is an outstanding player, but there are times where I think he forces it a little bit and we've seen this for Leinster a couple of times. I'm thinking of that Ulster game when Ulster beat him back in January, was it? He threw the pass that got intercepted. There's times when Ireland are deep in the 22 where you'd like just a little bit more calm, build through the phases. And there was one moment in the first half where he did that again. In the second half, he had a kick where I think it got blocked down as he was kind of put it through. So I think a little bit
they
more
forced
calm.
It a bit, the two of them, I think. Yeah, I think Crowley forced it a bit.
I thought
as well.
So too, yeah. Because the pack, like I mentioned, were just destroying Wales, and the platform was there, I think, for the halfbacks to bring a little bit more control. So I thought
it goes back
to
that game management point that I made, and you got to play to your strengths. And Ireland's strength normally is their attacking game, but today they were so dominant in the collision that maybe they could have just tightened up and won the game before they started going wide a little bit more. Because if they'd gone around the corner a little bit more, that Wales team wasn't up to the physical challenge of that. You know, just pound them into the corner, maul, ruck, you know, four scrums, even build a score. I know they got the points off the maul at the corner, but even going 3-6-9 might have been an option today, because they could have broken Wales far better, I think, but than the way they went about it, because they kind of kept Wales in the game, and by playing kind of intricate backline moves that weren't really working. It was a lot of it was in front of Wales rather than going through Wales. So I think England will have watched that with their line speed and will be kind of licking their lips at what Ireland presented in attack at times today. At the same time, the James Lowe try, the Tadhg Byrne try at the end, they were really well constructed attacking plays. So you can't, it wasn't all bad at all.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point about just being a little over eager to try and go out. Yeah, patience. And there were a couple of times, particularly in the first half, I can remember Doris in particular, just carrying it up the guts, taking it at the base of the ruck and just going straight through. They were just making so much ground every time they did it. But I think they felt like they could hurt Wales out wide. And in fairness, Josh Adams got taken off. That's a Lions player, and he had a tough enough game. Dan Sheehan ran over him in the second half. I actually thought it was Thomas Williams when he went over him. It was an unbelievable carry by Sheehan. So they clearly had identified to try and target Wales out wide, whereas the way the game panned out, I felt like they should have probably adapted a little bit more than they did, because like I said, you had that Doris moment. I think Tadhg Byrne had another one where just went straight through them because Wales were almost fanning out. So they're little things that they can work on, but like I said, it's no harm to have them before you're going to Twickenham.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jack Crowley obviously as well. You talked 3-6-9, that's the way they should have gone. He went for the three straight away and it was from 42 metres, you know. So his place kicking was a big talking point after the Italy game. He kicked them all. I know some of the conversions are right in front of the post, but so you think maybe pre-Italy game management, we knew the place kicking was going to come back.
Absolutely. And I still think he's adapting very well to international rugby and had some lovely touches and offers a running threat that Ireland hadn't had in the kind of late stage Johnny Sexton. A lot to like about what he's doing. And this is the kind of, these are the experiences he needs to go through so that he's able to manage games better. And that's where he's learning on the job to some degree. And I'm not putting it all on his shoulders. I think O'Mahony needs to have a word and go, hang on a second, we're getting involved in a bit of a crazy game here. Let's just calm things down, get the ball off the pitch, because Wales didn't want to give Ireland line outs, so they weren't kicking the ball off. But Ireland have an excellent defensive line out, so why not get the ball off and go up and contest and make Wales play from within their own half, because then they'll make mistakes. This is not a great Welsh team, so that I think that 15 minutes after half time, the period where Ireland went out to 14 and they got involved in that really long phase, that I think is what they should hone in on the most, because that was a bit of a crazy game to get involved in when you were down a man. They looked absolutely wrecked at the end of it, and I think that's part of the reason Farrell went to his bench. It's a fairly minute criticism of them, and it's a fixable element, but it's just decision making, and it's having the confidence in not having the ball for a while, because the third try came from a bit of box kicking, because Ireland won that territory battle. It was a clever kick from Crowley that ended up resulting in the try. So they're able to do that game, and they shouldn't be afraid to do it. They can't be the Harlem Globetrotters all the time. Sometimes you've got to manage your energy, especially when you're down to 14 men. Again, look, we're talking about a big win and we're picking holes in a big win, but I think that's the kind of issues that good teams iron out in between games, and you don't fall in love with yourself, and I don't see them not falling in love with themselves after this win.
Just on Crowley, he's learning on the job, but in a team that is three bonus points wins from three in the Six Nations, I mean, it's an unbelievable luxury for him and for Ireland to have, because no one is expecting him to be the finished product at all. And like, if you compare that to what Wales are unfortunately having, the pain that they're going to have to go through with Sam Costelloe, who is, you know, I know he missed the previous round, but they're mixing and matching young tens who are in a losing and a beaten team. So this is an ideal scenario for Jack Crowley, who didn't play badly, and not that Rudd is making that out at all, but it's a great situation for a young 10 to be 15 from 15 points. I agree with you, Sinead. He thought he kicked really well, and that would have been something that would have really frustrated him, I think, after the Italy game. He silenced probably a few critics from that. Like you said, there was a little bit of it was over the top. So, like, all in all, it was a really good day at the office without being spectacular, I think.
Yeah, it was a good win. I wouldn't say it was a great performance by any means, but they're operating on such a level that they can have a bit of an off day and still win by 24 points against Wales at home and be heading towards a Grand Slam with loads and loads to iron out and to learn. I do think that sometimes, certainly at the World Cup, they were guilty maybe of not learning from the mistakes in their wins, and New Zealand poured over the footage, and good coaches will pour over the footage, so they've got to be really ruthless and forensic about it. I mean, we haven't heard what Andy Farrell has said yet. We will, I'm sure, and if sometimes he comes in very positive after these games, but you'd hope that behind the scenes, like, I think they should have been winning that game by a lot more, you know, or being far more comfortable within it. At the same time, it's probably no harm for them to have it wasn't a tight game in the scoreboard, but it felt like a tight game in the second half.
Okay, well, let's just get the post-match thoughts of Andy Farrell and Peter O'Mahony.
You know, I thought we was tenacious to be able to get to that point of a 31-7 win with a bonus point. There was all sorts of stuff that was going on in that game, and some of it was our own doing, but most of it was because we played against the tenacious Welsh side as well, so congratulations to them. But we stuck at it and brought them down in the end. You know, for the dominance that we had in the scrum in the first half, I felt we could have had a bit of a better lead going into half time. Well, having said that, coming out in the second half, I thought we was in the right place, but there was penalties all over the place, and he was a bit stop-start. But we found our way again. We found our way to get back going, and get the result that we was after. I thought we got what we deserved in the end. I mean, if the forward pass from Robbie hadn't been knocked off, I thought that was going to be an unbelievable try, you know. And again, it was us finding a way to make inroads, and I actually thought that they defended really well at times, and was hard to break down. But to get the bonus point win, 31-7, I thought we should have been further up in the first half. To be fair, but I do understand that this is a young Welsh side that's trying to gain experience as well, and I thought they played bloody tough. That's for sure.
We know that, you know, we can have certainly potentially a bit more intent and a little bit more accuracy, but at the same time, you know, credit to them. You know, I thought they defended well. I thought they tackled well. You know, some of their collisions, some of their chop tackling was good, like, and you know, we've been the other side of that card. I certainly have with Ireland, you know what I mean, underdogs, and you know, it's a nice place to be, and you can get stuck in, and I thought they certainly did that. You know, there was times where they put us under pressure, and you know, I thought there's a couple of times we could have turned the screw, but to be fair to them, turned the screw with our attack, but to be fair to them, they were good, like, you know, defensively.
So we're recording this podcast before the outcome of the Scotland-England game in Murrayfield. What are those elements that you feel? And also, is it almost set up for the coaches, because they will want a far greater performance from Ireland going to Twickenham?
Yeah, this is the point that we've been making. You know, I think the line-out again is going to come under focus for the next couple of weeks. Paul O'Connell will have his hands full. Rudd touched on it. I mean, France gave them a free pass, but to be fair, a lot of that was down to the fact that Paul Willems obviously got sent off, and Italy, for some strange reason, didn't challenge challenge really Ireland at the line out. So England absolutely will. They have the line out threats to do that. I thought it was interesting that they've dropped Freddie Stewart for this evening's game as well, which like just it seemed like an anti Steve Borthwick kind of selection, because to me Freddie Stewart seems like the prototype kind of fullback that he'd want. So interesting to see how that plays out. I thought the scrum was excellent, like we've mentioned. Yeah. Like that was a big plus, because the scrum is going to need to be very good when it goes against to Twickenham. Think back to the last trip to Twickenham where they got screwed, but then afterwards Matthew Reynald, the referee, came out and said that he got a few of the decisions wrong, which is all well and good, but Ireland won that game. Obviously there was an early red card, wasn't there, to Charlie Hughes?
Yeah, last
as well.
2 years they've had red cards against England.
Yeah, Freddie Stewart as well.
That's
here.
That's a big factor.
Like there's the set piece, I think, is going to be again a big focus, but just control and composure. You know, you're going over to Twickenham, it's going to be a very different atmosphere to what it is here in terms of, you know, looking for Irish wins. I know it's been good recently, but over the years, like, Twickenham has been a tough place to go, so that's going to present different challenges as well. Just having the composure, a little bit more composure, that, you know, you don't have to throw the miracle pass to get a try in the corner, that a couple of more phases could do the job. So yeah, like, I'm leaving here today with glass absolutely half full. 15 points from 15 is an amazing return, and still feel like you've got plenty of scope for improvement. And the camera at near the end of the game panned to Andy Farrell in the coach's box, and he looked like a man who, not annoyed, but like a man who I would say would be probably echoing a lot of what we're saying, that there's no chance Ireland are going to be going over to Twickenham thinking that they've got it all sorted.
Yeah, like they're 160 minutes away from history. No team in the professional era has done back-to-back Grand Slams. Sorry, certainly in the Six Nations era has done back-to-back Grand Slams. No Irish team has come close. So this is opportunity knocks for this team, you know, post Johnny Sexton, to come out and do something, you know, what would it be, the fifth Irish Grand Slam in history? You know, these things are special, and we're very, very close to it. And this is an amazing team, and they didn't play amazingly today, but still, I thought the atmosphere was better today than it had been against
Italy.
Credit
to the Welsh fans as well.
Welsh fans kind of
got a run out at the end. Yeah,
but not for every try, which was, like, all jokes aside, it was just crazy after every try against Italy, because you were in danger of ruining a good thing. So it was nice that they just played it at full time.
The whole thing was better. It was competitive and a good test for Ireland, which they've overcome with plenty to learn, and I do expect them to be better in two weeks time in Twickenham, but they'll be tested. England have caused them more problems than most in the last couple of years, even though Ireland have won those games well. So yeah, I don't think they're coasting there. I think they've a lot to do, and certainly it brings us down to earth a little bit as well, because I found the build up to this game, I found it very hard to make a case for Wales to win the game. I thought Wales impressed me in many regards, even though they're way off winning against a team like Ireland, but they did enough to kind of show that there's a team there that Gatland can build. For Ireland, they probably, it was a lovely stress test to go through before those, you know, a bit of a step up going to Twickenham, and I think Scotland could cause some problems in that final game as well, depending on how they're trucking. So, you know, it's not going to be easy to get over the line, but it's there for them, and they absolutely have what it takes to get there, and they have what it takes to be better than they were today, and that's what they'll be trying to get done over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Rory and Keane, thank you very much for that. That is it from us. Will and Luke will be back next week.